CT1 will repel fungus and bacteria more than conventional sanitary sealants.
You go for the script in your head, aren't you?
And I'm like,
we know when CT1 arrives. The CT1, because the Hummer pulls up. So what I want to know is what goes on inside them Hummers.
It was really important for us to know we are number one, but are we also the most liked, respected brand? But do people believe in us? Do people like us? Do people want to buy into us?
Yeah.
For me, sustaining that is absolutely, it's so important. Do you have to remember that people are making a living off CT1? They have families, they have homes, they have mortgages.
Like one thing when you run a business that a lot of people don't see is, well, if I don't do this, or I don't send that email, or I don't get this order over the line, I've got 20 other people that rely on me for a mortgage or to feed their family.
Well, this is exactly it, yeah.
We are here live with an exclusive one-to-one with Nicola Walsh. Sales director?
Sales and marketing director.
Sales and marketing director.
Face of CT1.
I don't know whether Jimmy would agree with that. Well. We can't piss Jimmy off just yet. But
yeah, just yet.
CT1 obviously sponsors the show, so it's taken us a while to pin you down, Nicola, mm-hmm. to get you on. So mm-hmm. thank you very much for flying all the way.
Yes.
From the lovely...
Thanks for the invite.
Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And yes, yeah, so the whole point of getting you on is, for us, we always like to get different trades on, especially people using your product, and different brands on to talk about their brand journey. Obviously, I think the last one that we had on brand-wise was Stabia.
Yes, Stabia.
The spirit levels. Mm-hmm. And it's always good for people listening and watching to get to know not only, obviously, about the brand, but a bit more about you, because I'm sure, I'd probably say 90% of the people in the trade industry probably know who you are, because you're a bit larger than life, which is a good thing. Before I get canned for that, I had to choose my words carefully.
Yeah.
But we just want to get a bit of background story as to a bit about you personally, mm-hmm. more so than the brand, and then how you became to be involved with the business, mm-hmm. and then what sort of happened with the business. Where did it start? How did it grow? Mm-hmm. How did it become what everybody sees when they go to a trade show or when they're on social media or anything like that? So just take us back to... Not obviously when you were born. And I always knew I was going
to go too far. To
yeah, not too far.
I always knew I was going to do sealants. Sealants was my well. You know.
Yeah.
If it's like similar with me, was I grew up with lighting products and stuff like that. It was always around the house. So mm-hmm. it's probably a similar scenario with mm-hmm. you. But just give us some backstory as to you're at school, you've left school, and mm-hmm. then you sort of... whenever you've entered the business, what yeah. you did before.
What direction you went yeah. from there.
Well, obviously, my dream wasn't, you know, I want to sell sealants and market sealants.
Was it not?
That no,
wasn't
the point. Funnily enough.
Here's the question then. What was the dream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
The 16, 17-year-old Nicola, what was the dream? Where was you going?
Now you really put me on the spot. Thank God this isn't live. What was the dream back then? I actually can't remember because this is so long ago. but it definitely wasn't selling sealants. But I always had a passion for sales and marketing. I don't think when I was 17, I think I always wanted to do something, I don't know, maybe go into acting or something like that. And I suppose a bit of sales and marketing is about that, because you're always promoting, you're always on stage when you're selling something, everybody's selling something, you're always giving it your best performance. And so obviously when I left school, I wanted to obviously do something around PR, because obviously then you start studying around business and things like that. So I was like, yeah, I want to go into marketing. Marketing seems like a really hip thing to do. So I said to myself, like, I want to do marketing. So I did a degree in marketing. I got an honours degree, and then I went on to do my master's. And then during my master's of marketing, I took on, regrettably, a lecturing job at the university.
Right.
So I actually lectured and then took on a master's.
Lectured in what? In marketing?
In business,
right,
yeah.
Right, okay.
So I took a bit more off that I could chew, and obviously I was only like, you know, 21 at the time, and then social, and so there was a lot of work in that. So I was like, I'm going to drop the master's. I have my degree. And then I took kind of a year out. And in that year, then I started working in CTech back then, and started learning, obviously, a bit more about construction and sealants and so on. But it wasn't for me. And I was like, I want my own career path. And it's only now, the last couple of maybe 3 or 4 years, that people now know that it's a family-run business. We've kept that because I always wanted my career as well to be on the back of what I've done. not because it's
not
a family.
Silver spoon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly. And I wanted to form my own career and obviously my own path. And my parents at the time, they, you know, my father Jimmy, and like he's like, you know, the CEO as is my mother, but he knew a good salesperson when he seen one. He's like, you'd be really good at selling sealants. I said, I don't want to sell sealants. Sell sealants. And so I went and forged my own career. So then after that, then I worked in Dublin for various different jobs and building up my marketing career portfolio.
What was the weirdest one you've done?
Well, this is the funny thing. I actually worked for a number of things and a number of companies, and one of them was Bordish Gabara, which is Gaelic for the Irish Sea Fisheries Board. And that might not sound very glamorous.
It's all glitz and glamour, isn't it? It's all glitz and glamour.
How did you get into the Irish Fisheries Board?
Invitation only.
I got a marketing job through that and built my way up through the Irish Sea Fisheries Board. And the job with marketing then was to make fish like kind of like glamorous. Now I make sealants glamorous. But to make the consumption of fish, to increase the consumption of fish.
Right.
Because everybody's seen fish like with potatoes and kind of boring. And then we did like cookery road shows, and I got really into the PR and marketing of fish.
So you sort of had to think a little bit outside the box then,
exactly,
to make
right.
that work. And that's what the whole marketing thing is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Make me want some fish.
Yeah,
tell me how it's just
sell me fish.
I'll be honest, like, how do you even sell a fish?
Yeah, you said it out before.
Well, I wasn't on a market selling fish. So I obviously got my career, and I started off there, and obviously you pick up tips along the way, how to write editorials, how to put roadshows together, that kind of thing. And then I worked then for a different company, because you obviously want to go up the career ladder. And then I worked for various companies that through the Irish government. So it was the Irish Network in Business was a company that promoted basically entrepreneurship for women in business in rural Ireland.
Right.
So then you had to go around and actually set up workshops for women, entrepreneurial women that wanted to run their own business and encourage other women to set up their own business. So I did that for about 2 years and absolutely loved it. So there's a lot of PR around that. And again, building up contacts, press releases, and something again, completely different. And again, you want to climb the ladder. There was only somewhere you could go. And then I worked for JCDecaux, which is the largest, obviously, the billboard company, outdoor media.
Right.
So I worked for their head office in Dublin. So it was various roles like that. And at that time, my parents wanted me to work in the company. And I was like, no, I want to do my own thing.
Yeah. So at this point, Jimmy, CT1 is a thing at this point.
Yeah, CT1
so
had
that's
just
your dad's,
kind of... Yeah,
right,
that's...
Okay.
The
rebellious side comes out. So I did the same.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, yeah.
I did the same.
And you do, you want to form, and which is a really good thing because you get to see the world and you get to have other experiences and you bring to the table other marketing
experiences. You're doing you, aren't you, at that point?
That's exactly right. So, and then it's... And my mom was there as well. So it was, you know, and the company was... And I just was like, I'm not going to sell sealants. Sealants. What does that do?
I'm sticking with the fish. Sod your sealants.
Fish is where it's at. And so that's basically, in a nutshell, kind of how things progressed. And then I went to live in Sydney, Australia.
And everyone seems to go to Australia.
Yes. Why
don't
not?
They?
Why not?
Exactly. You've been to Australia. Have you lived in Australia?
To be honest, I'd move there tomorrow.
There's so many guests we have on, even...
The plumber
Harrison, who was on last week.
Plumber Runner Stunner. He's over there now.
Alex was in Australia.
Yeah.
Darcy was Australia.
Yeah, I loved it. So I went over just actually for a year, just kind of take a break. And I was like, well, go, because you can only get a working holiday visa before you're 30. So I went when I was like 28, 29. And I was like, I'll go.
But she couldn't get in there. We've seen your footage from trade shows.
Well, actually, I can, because I'm actually a citizen of Australia now. So I got my Australian passport. So when I went over there, I worked in a bar, just taking a year out, having fun. And then when I landed in Sydney, I was like, I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving.
What's that saying in New Zealand? Not fucking leaving.
That's pretty much. I mean, you land there and you're like, oh my God, we only think we're living.
Has it got you straight away?
It just grabbed me straight away. So I then went to look for marketing and sales jobs in Sydney. Mm. And then I come across this. It was an American publishing company. So I worked with an American publishing company and it was doing sales, like advertising sales. So it was basically pitching and selling advertising over the phone.
Mm.
And I suppose that's where I get great empathy now. For anybody that rings and pitches me, I always give them the time of day because I know how hard that is.
That's a lie. It took me so long.
Well, it was just your introduction was all wrong.
Al, I'm in the middle of something. I'm going to have to call you back.
It was your introduction was all wrong. And I have the greatest empathy because it's so hard. But basically, I built myself up there, you know, worked through the stages. Like, I was there for like 7-8 years. And they were a fantastic company. They were actually two guys from London. And they were running an American publishing company. So I worked at that time for industry trade publications. So I worked with the Royal Australian Navy, the Department of Health. So I worked with Pfizer and then things like Siemens and all of the defence contractors.
Yeah.
So I knew how to pitch kind of defence contractors and medical people as well. So to change
my pitch. So you're proper cutting your teeth at this point on where you're going to go.
Yeah. So, and at that stage then, obviously CT1 was growing. And way back in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and we were growing and I was doing the marketing over there. So I was doing then, and then I was doing that kind of in the evenings and at the weekends and starting to build up. And obviously we were building the brand, the sales team were knocking on the doors and we were approaching businesses, obviously, and building merchants and showing our wares, if you like, and our product and our technology. And I was doing the marketing from Sydney. So that happened for a long time. And then we got, you know, we grew and grew. And then it was like kind of decision time. Are you going to come home? And
you could have started it over there.
Well, that's the plan. Eventually,
Aussie office.
Yeah, I know. But you have to come back to basics as well. You have to come back to, you know, there's no point doing it over there and living like, you know, and half-ass doing it.
Yeah.
But also as well, I just left out that little bit. Before I went, I actually did work for CT1 for about 7-8 months. I actually sold CT1. So before I went to Australia, Jimmy, the CEO, and my mum, the other CEO, wanted to put me through a training school. So I actually went and actually did the training school with CT1. And went out in the field and actually worked as a sales rep for CT1 for 6 months before I went to Sydney to get money to go to Sydney. And I did that and I actually developed and I opened up at that stage all up to kind of like the northwest area. So I worked around Liverpool, Manchester, and I actually opened up and sold CT1.
Ah,
so
you was the face of it there, getting it out.
Well, you know, back then that was like, what, 18, 19 years ago. Right. So that was, so it's really good to know, obviously.
I thought you were going to say the 1890s or something.
Is it my horse?
You're like Benjamin Button, you are. 1890s.
Yeah, so it's really good to know, like, obviously if you're selling a product, you have to know how to sell it, how to use it, what people want. But then I went to Australia and I was like, you know, and as much as I enjoyed it, I was like, I'm going to Australia.
It's been great, bye.
And then it was kind of decision time, like I had to come home and the business was growing. So I made the decision then, I made sure I got my Australian citizenship on my passport in case it didn't pan out.
Is that indefinite then? Is that done now?
It's hard to get that.
So there was a lot of hoops to go through. Like, it didn't, you know, you have to really work to get your residency, your citizenship.
Did you go after, I think they give you the ceremony, didn't they, for you?
I did. Mayor gave it to me. So I did. Yeah, so you had to go through a lot of, it wasn't as easy. You went to Bondi and here you go, here's your citizenship.
You've hugged a koala. You've been to Australia Zoo.
Bitten by an alligator. Yeah, you're good to go. So there was a lot of, obviously, hoops and everything to jump through. But I'm glad I have it because now it gives us the door as well to open maybe, you know, CTEC Asia Pacific one day.
So you could go there and set up a business and work from Australia with what you've got.
Yeah.
Perfect then.
And what, are you interested?
I'll come to Australia. Not a problem.
And the good thing is, Nicola could move there and then sponsor somebody else to bring them out.
Obviously now with the UK, we've become so busy, and which is great. And that Australia seems so far off the moment.
That was like us. We just came to, like, Europe and the UK became that busy that I wouldn't have been able to cope if I'd have gone and started.
It's just like, you know, and it's fantastic. And I'm like, we're in a very privileged situation at the moment. And I don't take anything for granted.
Right.
You always have to keep the pedal on the foot. You cannot, you can't rest on your laurels. You always have to be, you know, creative, innovate yourself. Don't be arrogant and always remember the people that help you put you there, like the tradespeople on the ground. So
So you've come back from Australia. You've been summoned back. And so
beckoned
where,
back. Yeah. And,
so
so
where did you go from there then? So you've come back from Australia, then what's happened there?
Lost my tan very quickly.
I bet.
That's one thing for sure. Come back, but I'm really glad that I did come back home, because a lot of things happened within the 2 years that I landed back. And
what sort of years is this then?
You're talking
she
about
6 years
ago.
Right?
No, I'm just interested to hear.
Older and older.
Yeah, no, I'm just interested in the timeline.
1892.
It's not the 1800s anymore. I've just finished the Book of Kells.
1905.
Where's my quill?
Where's my petticoat? So that's about 6 years ago that I'm home, and then a lot of things then happened in that time space. Massive amount of things happened. The CEO, Jimmy, actually then got cancer, secondary cancer. Then obviously, as everybody knows, we have a massive litigation with another sealant manufacturer at the moment that used that kind of time, and a lot of things happened. So I was really glad I was here as well to kind of be part of that and be part of the family business.
The other thing as well is, when you look back, is if you'd had a stayed and then that stuff had happened and then COVID kicked in,
you wouldn't have been able to get back, would you?
You wouldn't have been able to get back, and there is those things with you.
This is it, yeah. Like, I mean, COVID, and then, you know, COVID for us was... not obviously, I can't say a good time, like it was a terrible time for everybody, but we obviously, a lot of people grew during it, but obviously a lot of people wanted to redo their homes. So the DIY sector really...
Oh, it went mental.
It went absolutely...
If they'd have shut down construction, our business would have been ruined as well.
Well, this is it. And a lot of people had to then kind of not remarket themselves, but reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
And to, you know, and obviously a lot of people, their homes become their castle. They're going out, their social place. This was the place, obviously, during that time. And obviously there was a massive amount of restrictions, and I was, I had to travel over to Spain a lot during that time due to somebody else that didn't behave very good with CT1 and took money and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I had to go over to Spain. So sometimes I was the only person sitting on the plane. It was really bizarre.
Literally.
Ryanair. Landed.
What, literally no... There
was nobody, in the airport. So obviously...
They were really strict there with masks and stuff.
They were extremely...
If you didn't have a mask on...
It was the bizarrest times. Like, I get that, you know, restrictions, and I'm not here to, you know, start up the COVID topic by any means. So that was obviously bizarre times. And during that time, it was then... You have to keep going. Yeah. I mean, you either, you know, you have to keep going. But it's obviously keeping people in jobs as well, and...
I think at that point, everyone sort of turned and went, we've got to alter our business plan.
Well,
the way
everybody started completely selling hand sanitizer.
Well, this is the thing. And I had to be careful with marketing as well, because obviously we have, CT1 is obviously the healthiest sealant on the market. There's no isocyanates. It doesn't grow bacteria, fungus, and so on. And we've launched BT1, which I'm sure we'll touch on in a moment, but it's tweaked the technology, and obviously tribrid technology, that it's completely antibacterial and antifungal free, and it's impossible to grow. But it also repels MRSI and E. coli, but I had to be really careful that it doesn't cure COVID.
Yeah, oh, you have to put that on. Literally, people covering themselves in multi-solve. I'm absolutely fine.
Miracle seal.
Yeah, you have to be careful what you put down. You have to be careful how you market things. Yeah. So obviously BT1 was created, and it's tweaked the technology of Tribrid. But yeah, COVID was, you know, for everybody, it's obviously very testing times. A lot, you know, not here to say COVID is like a good thing, but you know, for us then, it did expand CT1. We went into Wickes, which is predominantly kind of a DIY. Yeah. They really wanted it in because people were coming in to look for... So we grew, but there was obviously a lot of downsides with that as well.
Because
you know, so a lot of traction was gained with other people when we couldn't get out and kind of fight in the field, if you get me.
But those couple of years, people were improving their homes all the time.
Yeah.
There was so much work. As a plumber, people were doing the bathrooms, heating systems, everything. There was that much work.
You couldn't really spend money.
I
put a whole home gym in. Yeah. I was like, I need to go to the gym. It's all gathering dust now because I haven't got around to renovating the house. But I was like, whole home gym went in.
It was bizarre times, and obviously, but now it seems kind of... It seems so far away.
Do you remember that?
No, but you can't actually believe that was it 4 years? 4 or 5 years?
But then you look now and you go, did we really stand in a fucking queue two and meters apart.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, and it divided people. It divided, yeah. Like, there were so many, you know, divisions. And obviously, I don't want to start a COVID topic.
Yeah.
But it really did. It was the bizarrest of times. But I suppose that's our timeline of history and how we evolve and how you got through it and everybody learned from it. Yeah. So that was another. So at that time, you're actually right. Absolutely right. So I would have been in Australia. I wouldn't have been able to come home, and yeah. It would have been a whole different scenario.
They locked down pretty.
Oh yeah, they were
pretty kind of did, didn't they?
So yeah. they even had it on like sort of inter borders with like Brisbane and Sydney and stuff like that. So yeah, Queensland yeah. and New South Wales, they put police all across the border.
Yeah, yeah.
So you couldn't even travel interstate. Right.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so like, I mean, so that timeline then, I obviously come home, all that happened. And then obviously since then, obviously we moved on. And
so coming out the back of COVID then, is that where CT1 really started to?
No, I mean, obviously, no, it was massively before that, because you have to remember, like, we've been going for 20 years and nothing happens overnight.
No.
Nothing, you know, nothing, as you know, anything good is not just going to happen bang overnight. It takes a lot of research, preparation, training, discipline. We grew the brand, invested heavily, a lot of sacrifices were made along the way. And we've obviously developed the best technology and the number one brand, which we're super proud of. And we are a family-run business, and only we kind of talk about that now because, you know, it's a thing. I wanted it more like my career off my own back, and it wasn't, you know, to do with my parents. But we're very much family-orientated business. You know, my brother-in-law is the director of operations, two of my uncles work in the business, and there's people that work in the business that have been there from 20 years ago since right. it started.
But that's a good sign. If you're running a business that looks after the employees,
yeah.
why would they want to leave?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so you must look after your employees, Al does. It's a nice place to be. It's a fun place to be.
Well, the thing about it is, and I know that it's like massively publicized on social media as well, and we talk about it a lot of the time as well, it's CT1 family.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be part of CT1 family, which is fantastic because we are a family-run business. It's actually quite small, but it's actually grown and grown like a family would. And everybody wants to be part of a CT1 family, which is great. And that was one of the things I actually did want to kind of touch on today, but then it's happened now, is that, you know, we have a large social media presence, which is great. But a lot of people think that we're just, you know, we pay a lot of people, and that's that. It's absolutely not. Half the people that tag CT1 in just want to be part of the CT1 brand.
Because it's got that online presence. It's the way it's, from my point of view,
Do you know
just,
what it is? They
want to
get in that Hummer.
Oh, do you know what? One of my questions.
When am I coming? Nicola,
one of my questions later on is about the Hummer. So we'll come on to that. The online presence and.
Are you angling for the Hummer?
No. We'll get on to that. I've got it.
Imagine that. He's like, I'll do anything, even show for you.
I'd love to drive
you
the
would,
Hummer.
You would.
Honestly, I've got questions about the Hummer later on.
We all have questions about the Hummer. The next day.
What goes on in the Hummer?
Oh. No.
But one thing I want to just quickly interject is, so social media, because it completely revolutionised our business, Unilight, yeah. And I always ask people, like, how has it affected your business? Would you say it's been a positive thing for your business, or would you say it's sort of semi-turbocharged what you already do?
It's been massively positive. I cannot... I mean, you know, there's a double-edged sword, and I'm personally not on it a lot. And a lot of our social media, like, and I hate calling them brand ambassadors and influencers. They are part of the CT1 family because they go on above board. The ones that are obviously, you know, they paid a retainer, they do massive amount more than it's expected, but they just like being part of the brand. But it's massively excelled us. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. And obviously you do get some, oh, you know, here's CT1 again and another brand ambassador. It's not at all. A lot of these people actually tag CT1 in just to be part of the brand.
Yeah.
And what's really unique about us is... Why is he doing it?
He does it, yeah.
I love it.
Well, he's even on your Instagram page because he tagged me in because there was what was the Unilight product? And CT1 shared it. There was a CT1 Unilight combo on Mark's product.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah. But I've even before...
I just want to go in the Hummer.
Please, Nicola, take me in.
He's done me all night.
I haven't had the banter. When I do with them, no disrespect, when I do them on my own, they're not the same. I need it.
Thanks, Al.
No, but what you were saying about the social media, like, I don't want to quite. So anyways.
Just tell him he's in the Hummer. You're in.
It'll be a hearse in a minute.
Yeah. There fucking will be, Nicola, I'm telling you.
Hey?
Hey, he gives it all of this from the other side of this fucking table.
I'll be like, Nicola, save it. Not the teeth. Not the teeth. Like this as I'm trembling.
But I certainly don't want to quash that enthusiasm because so many people are enthusiastic about CT1. And you will get, look at social media, you're going to get people who go, oh, look at that. And I'm like, but people love being part of a fun brand. Yeah. We have made what I think, what I would like to hope to think, that we've made CT1, you know, fun. It's a bit sexy. Yeah. It's a bit fun. You got your Hummers. You got your shows. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work. Like our sales team, the force we have on the ground, that's who we thank.
Yeah.
They are out every day and they act with the utmost courtesy, professionalism. They are all trained by, obviously, in CT1 headquarters. We go through a really rigorous recruitment process. We don't just hire
anybody. You, like, have them in for 2 or 3 weeks or however long, training them to do that whole show thing?
I'd love to stick him through the Shining programme.
I don't know whether he can cope with this.
With his CT1.
Mate, I use it anyway. I use it day in, day out at work, mate.
I use it, but using it every day. Selling it every day.
There's a difference.
Who's your top seller of Unite products, mate?
This Nick Bundy. Stop doing me today. Stop it.
So obviously they go through a very rigorous recruitment process, and we only recruit the best people that have good morals, good values. One of the things we teach, obviously, during the training process as well, we never dish competition. That's not what we're about. Even though people like dishing us, we never mention the competition. Mm. We don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's not what we do. And we go in and we have respect and loyalty for our customers, our building merchants. And if we say we're going to do something, we do it. So we're ISO accredited, not just for our manufacturing, but also for our service and our what we provide. So we have ISO in all of our business cards and we get audited every year. So it's just not on our manufacturing, because you can provide the best products on the market, but can you provide the best service and the best technical service and the whole package? So what we try to do to CT1 is that you are buying, yes, the sealant and the tube, but you're buying the brand.
Yeah.
You're buying into the brand. You're buying into us. So that is, another good thing about CT1 is that we have very unique distribution. We don't sell into everywhere. And people, you know, a lot of people maybe watching this will know that we don't sell into X, Y, and Z, because they simply haven't either respected our staff, us, our brand, and we simply will not go there. So we don't just sell for the dollar. We have to have...
And that's knowing the strength of your brand, isn't it? You could put it everywhere, but you're picky and don't want to work with that company because X, Y, and Z, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So you can hold your head up and go, yeah, we are doing it for business, but we've got morals behind what we do.
Absolutely, morals, yeah. Like, recently we actually pulled out of... And obviously, Roger Nibs or anything.
I think I know who you pulled out of.
And I won't go into it, but extremely, unprofessional behaviour by people in that organisation towards other members of our team.
Right.
And that's all I'll say about that. And we have morals and standards, and that is why it's a CT1 family.
Yeah.
Because we felt, don't talk to our brother and sister like that. We will not tolerate that behaviour, and said, pull it out. Mm. And then other... competitors will make, they're out of there. But like, at what cost? So a good, that's why I feel that we have a lot of loyal people that use CT1, because they know that we have. And again, it's the same with even, people that are brand ambassadors and people that use CT1. We will not stick for bad treatment of people that use or belong to the CT1 family. We wouldn't tolerate it.
Ladies and gents, just a quick one to say a huge thank you to our new headline sponsor, CT1, the best sealants on the market, voted for by the British public. Not only that, it's made in Britain as well, so go and support a product and a brand that is made in the UK. But I just want to say to you, they've got a brand new product out, which is the BT1. It's a combination sealant and adhesive like the popular CT1, but it's perfect for keeping a hygienic environment. And it's designed to completely stop the growth of bacteria, microbes, and fungus. And not only that, this stuff is strong. Now, it's going to be available at Travis Perkins, Wicks, Juicens, and pretty much everywhere else. So there's no excuse not to go and give it a go. So we're really happy to be partnering with CT1.
I also as well, before the whole social media thing, we were always busy at stands in terms of, we were the first to kind of really like engage at a trade show. We sell obviously at the stand. That's the only time we would ever sell to an end consumer, because people are there, they want to buy the product. But we were always the first as well to come up with that absolutely jaw-dropping demonstration, which a lot of people have replicated since, and they have done the same. But we actually thought of that. Well, my parents thought of that back then, the two CEOs, on how to demonstrate this product and show all of its application uses. And you can go onto YouTube and you can see Jimmy, the CEO, doing that 25 years ago. Yeah. And now you have...
What was he doing? What's the first...
The brick underwater.
Is that what Jimmy did to start with?
That was like, that's 20 years. So now you see a lot of people doing the same thing. And even though you could say it's flattery, like, we're innovators and we're not imitators. Yeah. That's what we like to say. But it can be quite irritating as well. Yeah. I mean, you've had the same issues as well. But that, so when we were at a stand, people like to see, it's all well and good saying, we're the number one and this is the best product. Show me what it can do.
Yeah.
So when you actually physically show the product and it's all its applications, that's what draws the crowd in.
Oh, massively.
And also as well, our people are true, you know, professional salespeople and entertainers as well. I mean, that's what it's about. You are putting on a show as well. You want to be engaging. They're all as well, our salespeople are all from a trade background, a lot of them. So they know the trade. They have been, and then they've gone through our CT1 training school to learn all the technical side. Some of them are from a technical background as well. And they're able to engage and actually be informative, because they're not there as performance seals either. We're not in the circus. Yeah. You're there to actually educate and teach people how to use a product and why so, and why we are premium price and so on. And then the social media thing grew. Then we have competitions, and now we obviously build really good partnerships with other people in the industry, like Milwaukee as well. They've become our new best friend. So it's all... What CT1 does a lot as well is building really, really good partnerships.
Yeah.
So we don't consider somebody a customer, or you're a supplier, you're a customer, you're our partner. It has to work both ways. So we've built a really good partnership with a lot of people, and that's why I see our brand ambassadors as well.
Yeah. I remember speaking to your dad, Jimmy, at the KBB show, and I was talking to him, he was watching one of the guys doing the cup
one's my favourite.
I think it was the brick one they were doing. And I said to Jimmy, I said, please don't take this the wrong way. I went, but it's like an old school market. You know, when the guy's selling something, and he went, Mark, that's what I like. He went, it's relatable. Everyone used to love standing around.
I was waiting for him to go, you're not coming in the fucking number.
No, he went, everyone stands around that guy at the market, you know, when he's got that little bit of a show and he's drawing the crowd in. That's exactly what it was like. And he went, Mark, that's what I want.
Trade shows many moons ago were very much like, I remember going and selling off the stand, because we always sell off the stand because it's like people want to bargain.
Why not? Because you're going to the stand, you're going to the show for something.
And Sandown, like 15 years ago, I remember having, like, the stand was 6 deep and I was literally basketball throwing product over the top to people and people throwing cash at me.
And it's baffling as well. Like, I walked around some of the trade shows and I can demonstrate the product as well, but albeit some of them will say not very good anymore. I get some of it in my hair and I make a mess of the stand and whatever. People want to see the power of the demonstration, and it baffles me as well that some stands are there. And we would walk around, because I obviously want to just see who's around the other stands and so on. And they're sitting there on their stools doing nothing. Absolutely.
You mean
zero. And that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. It's a captive audience. That is your audience. And we've like historically been at the installer show for years because that's our end user. And we like to engage with our end user and also get feedback as well. If we're doing a product launch, we like to ask, what are your issues and what do you think of the product and what do you feel and so on. And now, because we've led the way again, there are other sealant manufacturers that have booked stands now at the installer show I'm just like, so we should be flattered in terms that we do always think outside the box. I'd like to think that we do, And that then other sealant manufacturers, oh, yes, I must go into that show. Yeah. And, you know, it's... but that's your captive audience. That's exactly... They're the people that are going to go into the building merchant and buy your product.
Mm. But, yeah, launching... So you got the new product, the wet room, the sealant, wet room sealant. So I was speaking to Jimmy about it, and it's got... I'm not sure what you can say about it. It's got bits of BT1 in it, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, he was telling me.
So all of our products are a bit, obviously, like what we do with CT1 is we're very proud about this because we are one brand. It's CT1. Whereas there's a lot of other, you know, people out there that have maybe 15, 20 brands. So what we did with the Tribud formulation, that is ours. That is, you know, that's our formulation. That's ours. But what we've done is we've tweaked the formulation for very niche specific products and so for instance BT1 is based on the CT1 formulation. It's tribrid polymer, nobody else has it, but what we did was we tweaked the formulation because the bathroom is a very contaminated area, and over the years we have more passive housing, and the bathroom has become even more incubated ground for all the nasties that grow bacteria and fungus. Even though CT1 will repel fungus and bacteria more than conventional sensor sealants.
You go through the script in your head, aren't you?
And I'm like, but BT1, what we've done is created specifically for the bathroom. So it's 100% antibacterial. So they're all developed on the Tribud formulation. So Power Grab and Bond has been developed on Tribud formulation. So it is the very heavy duty grab adhesive that's for your very heavy, you know, building work outside and so on. So what we've done is with the tanking product, we realised that there was something needed for wet rooms.
Because don't you have like is it a sheet or something goes down first and then you go
Whereas this, you can do it. Yeah, so with the tanking product, usually they have two components, but with this product, you don't. So basically, in a waffly, long-rounded way, it's based on the CT1 formulation and Tribud formulation, but we've tweaked it for a wet room application.
Yeah.
So it's saving time and money. All of our products are designed to save time and money for your end user, so that they only need this product. So they can use this as a tanking, leave it for a few hours, and you can tile it's tested for shower boards and so on. So it comes in tubs. We've done it for green, for environmental, because it's showing green, because really the shower boards and tiles will be behind it and so on.
Yeah.
So that, we did a soft launch at the KBB and everybody was blown away
by it.
It
looks great. I was having a look at it with Jimmy and it does look...
Because what's the process before now, that the current process is without just... Because you just put that on...
So you put your boards up, you put your cement boards or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Then you've got to seal that board...
You go over
before,
that.
Yeah, before you tile it to completely tank it in. At the moment, you've got ones where you have to put the scrim tape on, and then you put one coat on,
and then
leave
go,
it for 12 hours, again. Come back the next day, put another coat on.
Okay.
Whereas Jimmy was saying this is one on,
so
done.
With that, do you still have to put the board on with the W?
Yeah, you've got to put the board on, then put your tanking system on,
and then
the tile on top of that.
So you're saving a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Saved me hours doing my last tanking job.
Oh, it's brilliant. It is really good. Got it in your hair and everything.
Got my hair, for God's sake.
At least the green, where you're green on the nails. I can go out with that. It's
a magic day. Yes, but that's what we do. We listen to the end user, and this was something that was drastically needed in the industry. So we're always trying to think of, we lead the way in technology, and we're always trying to think of ways to save the end user money and time, and develop the best product. So that's what we predominantly do, obviously. It's sealants and adhesives only.
It's just an evolution of each one, isn't it?
It's an evolution of each one, yeah. So, but it's all based on the CT1 Tribud formulation. So we've just tweaked it for specific niche applications that tradespeople will need something specifically for the bathroom to create a clinically clean area.
Well, the wet rooms now are super popular, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and you've got, like with that, you've got to seal them properly. If you don't, it's just carnage afterwards.
It's a big job.
You get in there, and someone's spending 10 grand on a wet room and you're tiling it in, then 6 months later you've got a leak.
Yeah,
that's going to completely stop it
from
doing it.
So that's what we want to create, is like you just need a one-stop shop with CT1.
Yeah, 100%.
So you have your, obviously, multi-solve and your BT1 and so on.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the new products coming out for the wet room. What is the future then for the brand, and where would you like to see it, apart from obviously in Australia? What's the future look like for Nicola and CT1?
Well, obviously, you know, you don't want to be too arrogant or, you know, presume too much. I mean,
world domination.
World domination.
Coming for everything.
Yeah. But at the moment, we are the number one sealant and adhesive. And everything that we say, we back up in writing. And we're very proud about that. And I'll talk about our tests and accreditations in a minute. But we wanted to know, are we officially the number one? And we've done a number of surveys. And we've done a survey very recently with Untools. And it was really important for us to know we are number one. But we are we also the most liked, respected brand? It's all well and good being number one, but do people believe in us? Do people like us? Do people want to buy into us?
Yeah.
For me, sustaining that is absolutely, it's so important, but that's optimal, like to maintain. So when you are number one, to keep there, that's the challenge.
Yeah. Getting there.
Now, that's a hard slog as well. Obviously, that took 20 years, and that's well before I come on board. That's through our sales reps, through the CEOs, through everything that we've done and, you know, improved our formulation. And that's taken a long time. We're there now. So I've had the easy part. So I couldn't take any credit for where we are now. I mean, because that was all the build up to it. But maintaining that, that's the issue.
Yeah.
And it's not an issue. It's a challenge. It's an exciting challenge. And that's why we're always, you know, reinventing ourselves and thinking of different things. We're also expanding, obviously, into Europe. So we've got a good positioning now in Spain at the moment. We were in Spain, and then again through, you know, not very nice people taking money off us and not paying for stock and so on. And then COVID happened. We then lost a lot of traction in Spain. But we're back. We're back in Spain. I've spent a lot of time in Spain as well. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you're having cocktails.
Oh, right, terrible. I've got to pop to Spain to sort this out.
It's not at all. When you're standing in
your headquarters, Marbella?
I wish. When you're standing in a very hot, sweaty building merchants, you know, at 40 degrees in Mercia somewhere, and you're like, oh, my God, buy the CTR.
It's a different challenge there.
It's a different challenge. And then, obviously, I have, you know, my Spanish is not great. Doros, hard boiled eggs and cerveza. They're not interested in buying that. But so I have like then an interpreter translator, so I have to wait till he says something, I say something. So the call will go on for days at this stage. But we're massively growing the market in Spain.
Are you not in Europe at all at the minute then?
We are. We're in Spain, we are in Norway and Denmark.
Right, okay.
But obviously the thing about this is that if you go too big too fast, you take the eye off the ball of other places. So we are very strong in the UK, and there's only so big you can go as well. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, we're not Apple. We're not trying to be Apple. What we're trying to do is sustain who we are in the market. We are the number one. We want to make sure that everybody is associated with CT1, earns a good living, nothing happens, everybody's happy. But the bigger you get sometimes and the faster you grow, that's when things start to shake.
Yeah.
And that's where people then can take the eye off the ball. So at the moment now, we're obviously developing Spain. We did have a good foot stronghold in Spain. Obviously, some issues happened there. So now we're developing Spain. And obviously, because CT1's really good in adverse weather conditions, Spain is the perfect place for that. Yeah. Now, you would think that there's obviously a lot of competition in the UK, but there's even more in Spain. Like,
really?
I mean, there are like thousands of sealants. Yeah, wow. There is. Yeah, there's a lot of competition in Spain. And they don't have the same price point as they do in the UK. It's a different climate, different culture, different economy and so on. But so, yeah, so we're massively growing Spain. Norway is massively growing. Denmark is getting there. Now we're moving into Portugal as well. We've had a lot of interest. We get massive amount of calls and interest from places like Dubai, Germany. We are thinking of going into Germany and places like that. We get, so really we could flood the market globally because we get calls all the time, send over pallets and containers to CT1, but we would never do that.
It's got to be strategic, hasn't it?
And you have to, yeah, absolutely. Like you're going to send the product out.
You lose control.
Yeah. And then, you know, the brand is devalued and people don't understand. And no, we would never do that. And it would obviously massively harm our network that we have here that earn from CT1. And yeah, so
too many plates could start spinning too many plates.
That's exactly. Yeah.
So, you get like if you're going into a new market, you get one chance. And if you blow it or somebody else blows it on your behalf, you've got to leave that area for a good 3-4 years because your reputation just
you can't do it. And I just think that people can get too big too quickly. Do you have to remember that people are making a living of CT1? People have invested in this in terms of they have families, they have homes, they have mortgages, they rely on us being as well, and people are investing in it. They see you scooting off to, you know, Dubai, setting it up, and here, there, and everywhere. Like, you're not taking care of the people here that have helped you.
And they can soon turn, can't they? They can be like, oh, well, Nicola's sodding off over there, sunning herself. Like
one thing when you run a business that a lot of people don't see is you actually still worry about, well, if I don't do this, or I don't send that email, or I don't get this order over the line, like, you're always in the back of your head, I need to do this, this, this. And people go, oh, it's because it's your business. Well, no, it's just I've got 20 other people that rely on me for a mortgage or to feed the family.
Well, this is exactly it, yeah.
And you go to bed and you actually sit there worrying about that. And most people go, why do you worry about that? And it's like, well, when it's a family business, you realise that if you take these people out, you don't have a business.
Well, this is it. People make, it's not the, obviously the product is key, but people make business and people buy people they like.
Yeah.
And 100%. It's the people that make it. You could have the best product in the world and have nobody to sell it or market it or, you know, promote it or all of those other. So it's not really, yes, it's the product. You could have the best product on the line. If that was the case, we could just whack it online and sell it online. We don't need anybody. That would never, ever work.
Yeah. Can't sell a secret.
Oh, I like that. That's my, it's very wise, you are.
It's full of little quips.
For 41. Wise.
So, 401 apparently.
1890.
I'm not good at math. Yeah.
So what would you, in a, if I was to get you to summarise what you would really want for the brand for CT1 in the next 2 to 3 years, what would it be? What's one goal that you would love to achieve with the, apart from like sticking onto the number one, what's something that you'd like to see either you bring out or something that you do or something that you would love to achieve, whether that's like, okay, we want to get to 50 million or whatever it is. What's something that you personally would love to achieve?
I think it would be the, obviously CT1, what we do is we market it as, obviously it's a professional tradesperson's product and we want to be the number one in their hands. And to say that, and what's really good is that it's become an industry term, is like, you know, if something's broke or whatever, it's CT1 it.
Yeah.
So I want to be like the Hoover. Because it's actually a vacuum, it wasn't Hoover. So everything is
like a
CT1. That's exactly. Yeah. So it's CT1 is the product. In, it's going to be like the Coca-Cola of sealants.
Yeah. The brand name is going to become the definitive.
Yeah, so instead of saying a sealant, it could be, you know, it's a CT1 or, you know, that kind of. And I think for us, it's maintaining that and to maintain our number one. Because you're talking about in two, three years' time, to still have that number one, that takes effort and that takes a lot of, you know, planning, strategic planning and maintaining that. So to even have that in 2-3 years' time, I'd be delighted with that. So I don't have like, you know, these, you know, deranged aspects of like, we're going to be global in, you know, that's dream talk.
Yeah.
And you have to be realistic. What I do want to be is we are still number one. And I'd like to be, we've been invited onto a lot of like legislation boards and so on. Like we're the only sealant part of BICBI. We're on now different boards which help write legislation for best practice for installers. Okay. So for us, I would like to be, we are now seen as the voice of the future of the building industry, which is really important. So for me, I would like to build on that. So we could be part of, you know, I'm not saying
decision
I'm going to go to
part,
decision-making process, like what are best practices. Where I would like to be with CT1 as well is that we are specified in all jobs because we are the most healthiest sealant with the most accredited sealant on the market.
Yeah. It's a benchmark product, isn't it?
It's a benchmark product. That's exactly it. So to be at that, like if you want your job done properly and the right the first time and everything, you must use CT1. So it is the product that ultimately must be used. That's where it is. And that's not from being on a greedy perspective, like we want, you know, to make trillions of pounds. That is where CT1 is and should be, and it should get the recognition it deserves through its accreditation.
It's knowing the worth of that product. If that product is a benchmark product that every other product coming into it, because you're always going to get other products coming, if they don't get anywhere near that, that's stipulated. CT1 is stipulated to be used.
That's exactly. So we do a lot of work with architects and so on at the moment, and what's great about architects, like they're not actually really brand loyal. They just want to make sure that if the product does and the accreditation stack up to their project, that's what they're going to use. And it's getting that message out there. And to also, we do a lot of work now with apprentices and colleges to obviously go to colleges and young apprentices to say that CT1 is the best product to use. But what we do is a lot of workshops, and it's not to like shove CT1, you must use. It's actually best practice because we are the healthiest sealant. It will last longer, the eco-compliance of CT1 and so on. And all of the other added benefits to it, it's kind of, for 2 or 3 years' time, I would like that to be like really knowledgeable with all apprentices and colleges, and this is the best practice to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've enough to go around. It's not about like we want to, you know, make, you know, $4 billion in a day. That's not what it's about. It's to showcase CT1 is actually genuinely the best product on the market to use and to maintain that.
Apprentice is a good market because that's Apple did something similar, you know, with the back to school promos, and then they were specifically targeting university students because they know once they start using your product,
well, yeah,
that's the future. They're the future, aren't they?
They're never going to change.
Definitely.
But this is the thing, and once you start using a product at the start of your apprenticeship, that you will usually continue.
You tend to stick with it, don't you?
That's
excuse the pun.
Hummer. You're in there.
Oh, Mark Hummer Tiffers.
I like it.
Talking of the Hummer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
What goes on it? Because, right, everyone on social media knows the CT1 family. You know, it's there. You can't
you
get away
from it.
It's
like the Masons, like some secret handshake club.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I said the Masons.
No, but it's great. I know a lot. I've got
Simpsons
good...
more like that.
But I'm good friends with a lot of
you can be Millhouse in there.
Millhouse.
Don't say I'm like Marge.
But the whole CT1 family is just great. I know a lot of lads in there and ladies, and it's brilliant. And you turn up at the installer show, and then you go to the plumber's social afterwards. And we know when CT1 arrives, the CT1, because the Hummer pulls up.
Okay,
it's just...
Yeah.
Do you know what you need to do? You need to get Barbie-coloured ones and make them all ride in the Barbie-coloured Hummers.
They'll still do it.
But it's just a thing. Yeah, and, you know, some people are like, oh, here they come in that. But it's just brilliant. Everybody knows you're arriving.
Yeah, yeah, I know. What
I want to know is what goes on inside them Hummers.
Absolutely.
It's just party atmosphere.
It's just
it's
a party.
Brilliant.
It's just literally like a disco on a bus. And the thing about it is that one thing about CT1, and it is a really kind of like, obviously it's a family-run business and so on, and everybody's part of that family. But we like to socialise like family as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're going to, you know, your aunts or somebody, you have karaoke in the kitchen, or, you know, you want to create that really good vibe.
Yeah.
And we just like to have a good time as well. We work hard and we like to have a good time. You have
that's
to have a good time.
And we play hard.
We play hard.
No, but that's what it's about.
From Ulster here.
But that's what it's about. You get them ambassadors on board. You get the lads and the ladies on board. It's just, they're in there at the show doing their bits. And then afterwards, we're going out for a meal, we're going in the bus, we're going in the Hummer, we're going to have a party.
Because you want to have a good time. We want to look after them. And that the thing about it is, you want to build that partnership, friendship as well.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people that have like become brand ambassadors for CT1, they've become like some of my best friends.
Yeah.
Because it really is like a family. Like, some of these guys are like my brothers now. And it's amazing. And, you know, they go and bubble. And it's not just because we got a Hummer. You feel really relaxed. It's a good time. You want to work hard, but you want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's not all about just work, work, work and be regimented and do this. You want to actually go out. So what we've done is, and it's not like we have this like secret plan, what will we do, you know, but like what we've done is, and what we like to think about is like, we've made sealants, you know, kind of sexy, exciting, fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before it was like just a sealant, but now it's like, I want to be part of CT1, which is great.
Yeah.
And that's like another thing for the next 2 or 3 years is maintaining that. So I don't know what we're going to come with up next.
Jimmy's going to come in with the helicopter with some of the lads in it.
Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Down the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, gold.
So one other thing I wanted to go into was you mentioned about the new product for Wix. Do you want to mention that?
Oh, yes. So there has been some, you know, stir on this. And obviously this is not something we're going to, you know, massively promote and do what we do on a CT1 level. But there's always going to be an area or, a market that won't pay the premium price for CT1 because they only really need it for very limited use, more DIY. So what we've created is something called More Seal, and we've done it in conjunction with Wix because it's a pretty much a multi-purpose DIY sealant. So it's More Seal, so it's middle of the road sealant.
Mm.
It's a multi-purpose sealant, it's very affordable. CT1 is the very much, a lot of obviously DIY people
high
use
end.
It and so on, but it's for your, you know, your high end, it's a very professional tradesperson's product. Whereas More Seal is for something more so DIY, your DIY enthusiasts that will not pay the, you know, 1095 or whatever it is for CT1, that just want something very, it's going to sit there, I'm going to bond something, I don't need it for this big, you know, bricklaying job or to put a, you know, a marble counterpiece in or whatever it is. So we've done this through Wix, and it's called More Seal, so you can get it up in, you can buy it in Wix, and we'll be rolling it in Travis Perkins and
is
so
it,
on.
Is it live now?
On,
you can buy it now.
You can buy it in Wix now at the moment, yeah. So it's not something that we are, you know, we're not trying to take over the market or the world with it, but we do know that there is a niche there for the DIY that want a really good hybrid, but they don't want to pay that premium price for a CT1, but they just want something that will be middle of the road.
So what sort of price point is that going to be?
It's around, I think it retails for around six.
So it is sort of like DIY. They're not going to spend that money.
Well, you're not going to spend £10 if you're only using it sparingly.
Whereas us as tradesmen, we will. Yeah, so it's not something that we're, you know, hugely going to, you know, market. It's not, so we're very, you know, we don't want to say it's from CT1. It is not a tribrid. It will never be a tribrid. It's not CT1. It will not perform the same. It won't do the same. It won't perform the same amount of applications, but it will perform what you need to do on a very basic level. But it is better, and we've tested it against other hybrids,
right,
and it's still more performing, but it just won't reach that CT1 mark. But if you're looking for a middle of the road, we have More Seal, but it's really directed more at of the DIY market, and we've done that in collaboration with our good partners at Wix.
So that's Wix and Travis Perkins.
Wix, and it's in Travis Perkins in some areas, and it probably will be rolled out, but it's in Wix at the moment.
The main thing's
because
Wix.
Wix is, and that's a, you know, a good thing about CT1 as well. We build partners, so we have national partners, but we don't have national partners with everybody. Only what's right with us. But Wix, obviously, you know, Toolstation, TB, and Stark Jewson are our top national building merchant partners.
Are you wasting time? I think that some of you probably are, and I have a solution for you. Nobody wants to do any type of admin. Now, I have a solution for you, and it is called Tradeify. It's a fully automated job scheduling, invoicing, and quoting all in one place. Now, that software is going to save you 12 hours a week, and all by using a simple software solution. Now, you can try it for 2 weeks absolutely free, no cards needed, and you'll even get support in person from Tradeify themselves. Now, when you're done, you can always come back to me and thank me, but just enjoy the extra 12 hours that you're going to gain from just using the software.
So when Nicola's not working for CT1, doing the bits and bobs for CT1, what do you do?
She's in the Hummer, mate.
When you're not, we're always just cruising to the shops in the Hummer. So when you're not at work, what do you do outside of work to chill out, to relax, to turn off from CT1?
Wow.
I'll play you a song. It's called Vegabus. We like to party.
Obviously, I love spending time with my family as well, and I love to travel. So I'm always off here and there and everywhere, and I'm very lucky that I have, you know, a great family network and a fantastic as well, really good friend social network. Yeah. And, you know, I am.
Can you switch off?
It's hard. It is
because I know. Sometimes when hours been away, he's like, I'll get to a certain point, and I'm like, I've just got to do this.
I would be like that as well. I think it's been a family run business as well, and you're always on the. You know, you want to be...
It becomes an addiction.
And when you do have
downtime, you're like, well, what do I do with myself? Because you've got so conditioned to be like...
The thing about it is, I think that if you take off like solely 2 weeks and I come back and there's like probably 4 billion emails to go through, that gives you more anxiety than taking off.
The end of your 2 weeks, you're like, why did I do that?
So I like to keep on top of things, but
have a bit of a break away from
it. I do, of course. I mean, and I do, obviously, I'm a bit of a social butterfly. I like to, you know, I don't like to sit at home and knit. I'm not knitting at home or anything, but I have a really great network of a lot of friends, and then globally as well, because I lived in Australia, so I could go see them. I have.
Did you go back to Australia a lot?
I went back once since I come home, and I'm thinking of going back again next at Christmas. But really good friends of mine from Australia, I'm their child's godson. We're all getting a villa in Portugal in May, and then I have another friend.
That'd be a quiet week, wouldn't it?
Very quiet. Again, a lot of knitting and reading the Bible.
Of course.
Shut up. Promise I'm not going out.
And then obviously I like to go to the gym. I like to look after myself as well. Yeah. I live a very fast-paced life, so you have to take time. And I do meditation retreats. Can you not tell
how
very calm I am?
Do you honestly?
Yeah. So what are they like? Really good.
So how long would that be for? Two or three days?
A week. No, a week.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So it's a week.
I think I spoke to you just as you were going to one, didn't I?
Yeah.
In Spain or somewhere like that.
No, France. I go to one, yeah. Namaste. Can you not tell how calm I am?
Namaste.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Imagine if I didn't go.
Oh, my God. Headphones.
So what's that? What's your week there like?
Meditation. So it's about, like, with a lot of like-minded people. I like it. I can't believe I'm saying this. Come on. It's like my journey.
No, but I've seen it and I'm like, what actually...
This is actual footage. Kumbaya.
It's not.
No.
So I like to do that, like, maybe once or twice a year, and you go to meditation retreat, and you don't really, as well, it's like a digital detox. You don't really use your phone. You obviously don't drink, and there's it's all vegan, and it's in this really nice way. Don't laugh, Alex. It's
rehab.
And I escape after the 5 days. Yeah,
passed over is a meditation.
And I really like that because it's a chance to, because even when you're on holidays, you're going out and you're still, you come back from holidays sometimes wrecked. Yeah. But after this, you come back absolutely like bulletproof and you're ready for the year again. You just come back.
I feel like me and you need to go and do something for the podcast.
I should have set up a CT.
No, honestly, I'm genuinely interested in that because it's something that I've seen people do. And
would you go?
Yes, 100%.
It can be out of your comfort zone as well. Yeah, it's amazing.
Cancel the invite for the Hummer. He's going meditation.
The Hummer's taking me to the meditation machine.
Meditation mark.
Honestly, I'd love stuff like, as much as my missus will say, you're always on your phone and you're always this.
I could never see you at a meditation. Would you read Reebok Classics?
Honestly. if I'm there, you're doing that for a week, I would go, I'm all in.
I really enjoy it.
If you're going to do it, you've got to go all in and do it.
Is it good food as well? Is it like healthy?
Oh, it's all really healthy. And it's in the south of France.
Oh, man.
And it's in the south of France and it's amazing. And I really, really loved it. And this is actually a plug for Sarita Solange meditation. And I just really like it. I'm telling you, it's really good.
So you get there and talk us through the 48 hours.
I can't say everything because everybody's going to think, yeah, right.
No, but it's genuinely interesting.
It really is. Like, and it's all walks from life. Like, you had, like, there's people from America, Denmark, from all over, and you do a lot of meditation and you do kind of meditation workshops and you try and clear the mind, you try and relax, you're away from everything and kind of like you don't use the phone and you're with other people that don't really know you either, so you're not talking about,
there's no preconceived notions of you, is there?
Or it's not like, you know, people are talking about people they know or people like, you could be, you know, a butcher from, you know, Amsterdam. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And everybody's there just to,
they're taking you on face value.
And it's brilliant. And it's really good. And you do that for a week and you come out feeling absolutely amazing.
I could do with a bit of that.
Yeah.
I think it would be brilliant.
Child detox, more so than a digital.
And it's just really good to do that because it is a fast-paced environment, as in CT1. Like, a lot of things are happening all the time. And we have wards and we have this, and it's brilliant. And then, you know, a really busy social life as well. So you do need that kind of time to go. I actually need to catch my breath.
Could you imagine? She's walking through the palatial garden somewhere like that.
With a robe on. You've got a robe.
Really relaxed. And me and you're like, kooey.
the sauna door opens.
She'd be like, are you fucking serious?
No, she'd go, yes.
Oh, God, yeah. So I do that as well.
That's brilliant.
And obviously, love spending time with the family. We're going on a family holiday now at the beginning of June, all of us going together. So it's really important to spend time with the folks and the sister and the family.
And do you not speak business? Obviously.
Oh, Or is it, no, there
when
has
Jimmy's
been
got a few
that.
On board, is he, right, I've got this idea?
Well, because it is a family-run business, and my poor sister, my sister never got involved in the family. She's actually a primary school teacher, but her husband is the director of operations. Yeah. My mum is
so
the other CEO. My dad's CEO.
She's there marking books. And
but obviously, it has got to a stage because obviously we go away. And you talk about the business, we're all involved in it. It is our livelihood, it is our life, it is. But we do discuss other topics as well. But yeah, my poor sister, Melanie, is just like, oh, please, can we stop talking about CD1? And because we're obviously, we live and breathe it, but obviously we talk about other things, but we have had to put a block on no more talk of CD1 for the
that's
holiday.
Where they, that's where they decide the Hummerly size.
What's your sister called? Melanie.
Melanie, very cutthroat. Melanie
will get
off.
Me on the Hummer list.
Shout out to Melanie. Your name's not Dan, you're coming in.
Yeah.
There you go. Continuity is all over the place now. Water's appeared. The glass has filled back up.
You've got a really nutritious H2O.
Yes, there. It's a vitamin.
Iced water.
And fish oil.
Highland Spring. Highland Spring. Where were we anyway?
Where were we, Mark? I'm going with the question about the brands.
So competition. Often, what's the line? Often copied, never beaten.
Often copied, never equaled.
Often copied, never equaled. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people always try and copy a good brand.
Yeah.
Like CT1.
Yes.
Like and you've CT1. Had it. I'm sure you've had it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of it. And that's why we had to come up with the strap line, often copied, never equaled. We've had a lot of it, so much obviously we are going into litigation with another sealant manufacturer.
Yeah.
So everybody would claim, a lot of people would claim, you know, CT1, we are the same as CT1, we're the original formula, we're the original formulation. There is nothing that is the original formulation. Over 20 years, everything must change due to EU regulations. It must become more VOC free. You have to become more eco compliant. Nothing has been the same for 20 years. Nothing. Especially in a polymeric core structure. Everything will have to change because you have to become more eco-compliant, more environmentally friendly. You can't have, you know, isocyanate solvents and so on.
Chemicals.
Yeah, so nothing is the same. So when people say we are the original, you absolutely are not. Because,
even
our tri-hybrid formulation, it's obviously, we've enhanced it from a hybrid polymer. So hybrid polymers at the moment are very dated technology. And so we wanted to push the bar even further with sealants in terms of its performance. So CT1 is now 3 times stronger than anything else on the market. Mm. Its color retention, its tensile strength, all of the performance on CT1 tribrid is much more technically enhanced because we've created the tribrid polymer, which is like 3 polymers together as opposed to a hybrid. And that is because we've invested more money in the best raw materials. We get our raw materials from Germany. A lot of places get theirs from other places globally. And we have the best, obviously, scientific engineers on the case. But we're also always developing the tribrid to make it even stronger and so on. So for, you know, manufacturers to come out and say we have the original, nothing is the original because over 20 years everything would have to change.
It's evolving constantly, isn't it?
Evolving because you have to become more eco-compliant and raw materials in their core structure will change. So
is there like a governing body with sealants then?
You've
got to jump through hoops.
You've got to jump through hoops. And obviously EU regulations and so on. So when people say, oh, it's the same strength as CT1, we have seen, you know, charts that people have just made on an Excel spreadsheet and said, oh, we are the same and same strength. Whereas we will always come back and say, well, show us your test results. Can you back what you're saying up in writing? Can you back what you're saying up in writing? And they can't.
Yeah.
Whereas CT1, we've spent thousands and thousands of pounds testing our products in accredited ISO UKIF's labs, which are independent labs. They're not done out in some warehouse or we've not done them on our desk somewhere. They've actually been sent out and tested by ISO UKIF's labs. And so they're unbiased, they're tested, they give reports, and we can show all of these declaration of performances on how well the product has performed and what it does. Mm. So when people say it's the same as CT1, we always say, well, where's your test results? How can you back that up in writing? And that's why we have, like, we've had to go down the legal route with other people, because you're making, you know, accusations, yeah. and you're making false claims, and you're making statements that are completely, absolutely unfalse and untrue.
Whereas you can go, bang, there's the results. That's exactly that's what we've got.
So we say, well, back it up in writing, and that's where we have to go down the legal route, because people are making, obviously, rash statements and, you know...
But you're safeguarding your brand, aren't you? You're making sure no one is coming at you with those claims to try and push you out of the market. You're there. You're top of the game.
The thing that people don't realise is it costs you normally a lot of... Like, we use SGS and Intertek to... testing houses to make sure that our products are A, compliant,
yep.
B, obviously we have MSDS sheets, electrical testing sheets, and all the process that we actually have to do to get all of this stuff costs a lot of money. And then when people go, why is your product more expensive? Well, if you had one blow up in your hand and blew your hand off, we are covered.
Yeah,
that's the exactly difference it, because yeah. the amount of testing that we've done, it would never happen.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you buy something off Amazon from China and, well, where's the test sheet?
Yeah,
you know, and conformity, exactly, yeah. especially when you're selling into a lot of the bigger wholesalers, yeah. they want that sort of...
They want the safeguard of it, don't they?
Yeah, well, they want to know that whatever they're buying, they're not going to get a problem with it, and you can show that. But that testing, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. And we've invested in it, but we're invested in protecting our brand and our name because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not the end user's fault when they believe something is the same as something. Well, this branch manager told me that because their sales rep told me that. Because at the end of the day, they just want a performance sealant to do a job and, you know, yada, yada.
Hmm.
But at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're making completely false and untrue claims. You're, you know, you're being untrue to the end user and you're, you know, defrauding them in a sense. Because it is not the same performing product, and you're given a product that is not going to perform the same, and you have no declaration of performances, you have no accreditations, you've no backup to say it's the same thing. So we've spent thousands and thousands of pounds investing and in getting, you know, CT1 is the most accredited sealant on the market. We've over 25 accreditations, declarations of performances, and so on. Whereas other sealant manufacturers, they might have a few, but nowhere stacked up to compare to CT1.
Yeah.
And if you're making these, you know, irrational statements and claims, we want to see it backed up in writing, but they can only really show like a spreadsheet. And we've seen
detrimental to your business in the fact that people will be like, well, it's the same thing, but if it's cheaper, they'll just go, well, if it's the same thing, I'll just go for that.
And at the end of the day, it's not the end user's fault because you put trust into the, you know, the counter staff, and at the end of the day, it's not their fault. It's the information they've been given by somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and CT1 have had so much of that. We have had it from a number of competitors in the market that will say, it's the same as CT1, but cheaper. It's the same as CT1. It will do the same as CT1 and cheaper. But how could it do that if it's cheaper? Because you're not investing in the same raw materials, the accreditations. It's not manufactured the same. It is absolutely not the same. You can't say it's the same. So that is why we say often copied, never equaled, because a lot of people will state it's the same, but we can put in writing there is nothing the same as CT1. And we only have one brand, CT1, whereas other you know, manufacturers out there have maybe 10, 15 brands of sealants. We just have one CT1, that's it.
So what was the other thing that you wanted to touch on? Females in
women. Oh, construction, yeah. Females in the trade. So obviously being a female in the construction industry, I find it's been really, really great. And we're working with obviously a lot of female young apprentices in the trade and so on. So it's always been a subject that, you know, has been, it's kind of, you know, been explosive as well. I love working in this industry. I find the best people in this industry. And I don't think it's solely to do with, you know, men in construction. I'm sure there is friction with every industry. Yeah. So for me, it's like, you know, I hate to hear, you know, it's just, you know, that it's about the building or construction industry. It's not. I'm sure there's the same problems in political industry or the fashion industry or
everywhere.
So for me, it's to stand up as well and saying that a lot of the men in this industry have been the utmost gentlemen. I have seen so many men help young female apprentices and females as well. And I know that a lot of females have it hard on the site as well. But I think that is really turning, because a lot of young males have been brought up very differently now as well, and really respect women. And what I want to do is really fight the flag for construction and building industry, because it's one of the most fun, entertaining, really connected community to work in.
Yeah.
And I've worked in, as you can hear, from fish to retail to
like, you don't get that grief off the fish. Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's an industry that you can't just turn around. It's not just, but it's also as well about the female buyers. I have a lot of, they've turned into really good friends, that female buyers of large building industries as well. And it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
And even like Laura Clark, shout out to her. She's one of our brand ambassadors and architect as well, female architect. And she absolutely loves this industry.
Oh, yeah, we spoke to her at the KBB, didn't we? Yeah.
Still trying to get her on to Main Show.
Have to come on.
Oh, yeah, well, she'll have to come on. But again, she's just another female to fly the flag for the building and construction industry. And I think it's such a marvellous industry to be part of because there's so many absolutely awesome people in this industry. And I think that kind of... that persona or that kind of stereotype of, like, you know, the building industry is just, you know, about men wolf whistling or giving women a hard time. I think that's massively changed, and it's up to us. And then you've got, like, you know, little legends out there, like, you know, Sophie Pink Plummer and all of the other amazing female young apprentices out there, and that are on the tools, and She's Electric, and all those amazing females out there that are flying the flag, and they're using social media and getting brand ambassadors to really promote, you know, what females can bring to the construction and building industry, a different skill set and a different...
Haven't you got something where it crowns the finalist of the female apprenticeship? Is there something to do, with that?
Yes, so we are sponsoring at the moment the Young Female Plumbing Apprentice with the HIP competition, and that's happening on the 18th of April. And some of these ladies are just absolutely awesome. I mean, like their dedication, studying... And it is a male-dominated industry, but I'm sure a lot of them, when you speak to them as well, that so many of these great young male apprentices have really helped them as well. So it's really to shake that stigma off that it's like, oh, it's a scary industry and, you know, men in construction. And it's absolutely the best industry to work in my opinion. And I have worked internationally and with other types of industries. And for me, it's been the best because there's just been absolutely... awesome people in this industry.
I mean, all the females that we've had on here,
we've had some good ones.
And they say the same. Maybe the odd time they've had a little bit of grief, but once they stand their ground,
but that's like with anything, but that's like, it's not. And for me, I've been asked to do a podcast with Fix on women in construction, but what I want to do is like put a really good positive spin on it as well, is that things are turning, there's more women going into
these apprentices. If all you do is moan about something, I don't think anything ever gets changed. You have to bring people
positivity
with you.
And I think that's massively changed in terms of these young female, you know, brand ambassadors in, you know, plumbing, electrics. They're really putting that out there. And brands are going after them because they're really, you know, their skill set is very different. You know, they bring something different to the trade as well. And it's just really encouraging to see that. And that's what I want to push as well. And there's so many more female head buyers in these building industries. And I'm not here to say, oh, women are great. Women and men are great. Everybody brings a silver.
Everyone's great.
But it's not up to, it's like, oh, you know, men give it a hard time. It depends on that individual.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with brands, if you don't realise, say, like a prime example, you're a workwear brand. If you don't have female ambassadors, but you've got a female workwear range, how is anybody going to know how it fits or looks? And this isn't like a slight on ladies, but the shapes of
are very much ladies, different, of course,
you know, guys, normally we've got a big belly and a big ass, or
have we?
Well, I am. I'm just talking from experience. But I feel
if you say
like,
I do, you're dead.
But I feel like guys are easier to kit out. So when you know, if you're
they
a
do
workwear
have to,
brand,
accommodate you know, the females.
How do you expect to get any lady to buy anything if you're not speaking to your audience, if that makes any sense?
And that's something that we were looking at as well. Like, we're obviously sponsoring the HIP female plumbing competition as well, and one of the prizes we want to do was like the female work boot, because I do think that workwear and things like that, the females are forgotten, and that's just like, I'm sure it's the same for males, maybe in, you know, hairdressing or beauty. It's the same because predominantly it was one gender over the other, but things are changing, and
there's a massive shift, isn't there?
There's a massive shift, and I think that a lot of the females coming up through, and the likes of like HIP and different colleges are really promoting and endorsing women to become, I think there's a massive change out there.
What's your final thought then, Nicola? What's your one bit of advice or anything you want to plug?
I do want to plug the Installer Show because obviously we're going to be there. We're going to have a new challenge. Alex,
what is it? Can we say?
Yes, get into you the Hummer. That's going to be a challenge for you.
Unlock the Hummer. He's look at him now. He's like, oh, somebody mentioned Hummer.
I know, yeah. It's actually one of our brand ambassadors, Alex, and a great friend, Alex Ariot Viking. Yeah. He's actually created the last two challenges, the Hang In There challenge he thought of and he created. So kudos to him. And we're doing a new one, Kettlebells from Hell, I think right. It is. So it's obviously two kettlebells, I think, bonded with CT1. And we're doing, again, a joint giveaway with Milwaukee and hopefully our friends at Unilight. And Trustworthy Tools, I want to plug Trustworthy Tools as well. And we're going to do that. So we're going to be, and obviously we're going to do something at Plumber Social.
Yeah.
And that will be awesome fun. So... I wanted to plug that.
Row on pointy, number two.
Yeah. Pointy will love that, and, little shout out.
We are obviously then still doing a lot of work with our filler and cork, the FC1. I don't think we touched on that tonight. We touched on everything else. FC1, which is our filler and cork, and it's revolutionary to the market because we've amalgamated two products into one. It's a filler and cork into one product, which has never been done before, which is based on the Tribrid formulation as well. So it will be at that as well. So plug in a few things here. So yeah, the Installer Show, and we're also doing Juice and Live, the Wix Conference, TB Conference, Tool Station, and then the Painting and Decorating Show in November. And
you love a show, don't you?
I do love a show. A holy show. You. I am a holy show. No, I do like a trade show. I think it's great entertainment, and
yeah, it's good
there's
fun.
Great buzz around it. And yeah. You guys were absolutely brilliant at the KBB. I love doing the
it was good fun at the KBB.
Yeah,
chatted with so who do we have? The bowl builders spoke to Jimmy.
Next time, I need to convince Juicens or whoever's on there
to actually do something. I think yeah. They're a bit like and this kind of thing does kind of throw you back a bit. Like you're used to doing the kind of the banter and the pitter patter.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting in front of a micro and you're like.
But have you enjoyed it?
I've really enjoyed it, yeah. I don't want to get off now.
Is this your first one?
I did Trustworthy Live thing.
I mean, your first...
Oh, the
proper
first...
Proper podcast, yeah. Sit down.
Hopefully yeah. I'll be back.
They're good fun. Trey Legends is the first one for you. There yeah. You go. So, who in your eyes is a legend? I think I know where... You might go
apart
with
from
it.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say yeah. Jimmy and Monica.
Exactly what I was going to say. But okay, so let's take Jimmy out of it. We know he's
well, Jimmy
a legend.
And Monica.
So who? It could be music, film, sport, whatever. Who would you be a who's your legend?
Obviously, Alex from Unilight. I've looked up to him for years.
Oh.
And the way he markets himself, conducts himself.
The way he falls out with everybody.
I'm a fan of his work.
He's so unique in that
if
aspect.
If only I could do
his work. He's not a legend, he's a hero.
I'm a fan of your work. Hero. Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. So who is somebody that's inspirational to you? Apart from obviously Jimmy.
And Monica, because a lot of people, this is like, my mum was obviously one of the other managing directors, but she was more kind of behind the scenes. Yeah. And I would probably say my mum, as corny as that sounds, but she was very much behind the scenes and everything. She's a lot quieter,
yeah.
But was a massive driving force behind all of this, of what we created today. And obviously Jimmy, of course,
yeah.
But and I suppose she is in a sense because she's never really been in the limelight or yeah. taken any kind of.
Is it not for her? Does she not want to be?
No, she's very, very much behind the scenes and a much more quieter kind of character. And you need all of those characters in life as well. They have the yin and the yang. And I think that probably my mum would be my ultimate legend because she was able to do it all and, you know, and whereas me and my dad are very, very alike and out there and the kind of like, and you need that as well. Yeah. But I suppose my mum has never got the, the gratification that she, and never wanted it. So.
She's your legend.
She is, I think, yeah.
Monica.
Monica.
Legend.
Here's to you.
You gotta look down that camera.
Oh, here's you.
Love you, Mum. So, yeah, anything else, or we done? Should we go and have a drink? Yeah. Get some food?
Yeah. It's great having you on, Nicola.
8 o'clock.
Loved it.
Eight o'clock. We've been talking all night.
I thought it was going to be 8 in the morning.
8 o'clock.
You've only just started.
Yay!
She's like, what do you mean we finished? I haven't gone through the whole range yet. Come on.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's been absolutely awesome.
Very good fun.
Very good.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Well done.